Welcome to the Tribe of Testimonies. Here you will find conversations with faithful Native American members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, sharing their stories and their love of the Savior. My name's Andrea Hales. I'm Navajo, and I'm glad that you've decided to come and join us today. I am in my home today with my friend Tamara Wheeler. Tamara, would you please introduce yourself in your tribal way as much as possible? If it's in your language, great. If it's not, that's fine. Not everybody speaks their language, and some languages are dead.
Bonjour, my name is Tamara Wheeler, and I am of the Ojibwe and Navajo tribe. My mother's clan is the Bear Clan, or the Makwa clan in Ojibwe. My father's clan is the Tachini clan, or Red Running in the Water Street clan. And I live in Utah County, and I live in Alpine.
Yeah. So that's cool that you have the two very, like, geographically different family heritages, right? Your Ojibwe is from Canada, right?
Yes, that's
right. And your father is from New Mexico, Arizona.
Yeah, he's from Arizona in Round Rock.
Yeah, cool. Would you share something that you love about your heritage as it relates to the gospel of Jesus Christ? It can be pretty much anything, a story, a celebration, a way of life, a ceremony. What do you love about your heritage?
One thing that I really love about my heritage is that our people are very spiritual and they have a lot of faith. There's a lot of ceremonies, teachings, and dances that, you know, teach us to have faith in a higher power, in our Creator, Jesus Christ, and our Heavenly Father. And I love that so much.
Yeah. And you are a powwow girl, yeah?
Yes.
So your mom raised you that way. I know that she, and I've seen you around at BYU powwow, and I used to go religiously. Is that the right word to use? So yeah, you also do powwow, and as I've done this podcast, I've learned about some of the symbolism on some of the powwow outfits and some of the powwow songs. And do any of those come to mind as I just say those things about them?
Yeah. My mother, Penny Walker, she was on the podcast, I think last year. She really made sure that I knew who I was and where I came from as far as my culture. And she's the one that taught me, you know, how to dance since I was really small. I have a few jingle dresses. I dance women's jingle, and they're in my closet, and I have my little tiny jingle dress from when I was probably 3 years old.
Aww.
And I also have my little moccasins as well. And those are very precious to me. But the jingle dress dance originates from the Ojibwe tribe. And, you know, it's one of the stories says that it's also known as the healing dance. There is a story about this father that had a daughter that was very, very sick. And their family was really worried about her. And, you know, he was probably living a really good life. And he was blessed with a vision or a dream about this dress that his daughter needed to wear and to dance in. So they ended up making that dress for her. And they used, you know, maybe some form of maybe metal or maybe rocks or shells, depending on where they lived, to make that sound, that tinkling sound when the jingle dress dancer dances. And it said that that sound carries that healing power for people who are struggling in their lives, whether it be illness or maybe depression, issues with mental health, things like that. So for me personally, that dance, you know, it's fun to go to powwows. I love dancing, but for me personally, it's very spiritual. and very important. I try my best to remember the people in my life that are struggling, and I try to keep them in my prayers while I'm out there dancing, so that I can, because of my faith, I believe that I can help them in that way to have some source of comfort and peace in their lives.
I love that. And I love, too, what you just said. Like, I knew this, but I, you know, sometimes you have to be smacked in the face for a second. But that's a dance that originates with your tribe. That's so special, I think, because at this point it's become intertribal, but yet you have that extra special connection with it. I think that's so cool.
It's been a great blessing, for sure.
Yeah, so cool. So were you raised as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
Yes, I was. When I was younger, I never went to primary. My parents weren't going to church at that time. And then after my parents separated, my mom was the one that started having me go to church with her. And this is kind of funny. I didn't join the church until I was 12 years old. So I didn't get baptized until I was 12, instead of getting baptized at 8 years old. And we just felt like it would be a better age of understanding just different principles of the gospel. And it's funny because I remember taking the lessons from the missionaries. These were elder missionaries. But every time, I feel like it was maybe every week or every 2 weeks, the elders would get switched out new elders. So I never really stuck with one set of elders when I was taking the lessons. So I got baptized when I was 12. And then I remember I got a little bit older, and then I started going into young women's, and then getting older, you know, going into like the YSA wards and things. So
yeah. So do you go to a YSA ward right now?
No, I go to a family ward
with your mom.
I aged out of the YSA ward.
Yeah. No, you're not old enough.
I just go to the family ward. It's a great ward. We're in the ward in Alpine, and very kind people, and yeah, we love it so much.
That's so great. Yeah. Do you have a calling right now?
Yes. I help organize the Relief Society activities.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
Yeah. It's been really fun. The ladies on our committee are really kind, and we're just always just helping each other get these activities to bring the sisters together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, you just mentioned that your parents were separated and divorced, right? So, and your mom is from Canada. Do you have a strong relationship with your family in Canada?
I do. I remember in 2019, my mom and I went to Canada to visit my grandmother. She's 93 years old now. Wow. And we wanted just to reconnect with her and to visit our other family. My mom grew up in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, which is a city. But our reserve is maybe an hour and a half north of Winnipeg. It's called Saging First Nation, and it's just right by one of the lakes. So it gets very hot and humid during the summer, but it gets really cold in the winter as well. So I remember we went out there in 2019, and I was really excited because we were able to just go home on the reserve to spend time with our family. They have this church just on the main road. It's like, I think it's a Catholic church, and there's a scripture that's on the front of it about our Savior Jesus Christ. Like, about, it's that scripture says, "I am the way and the life," you know, that scripture. I think it's, I can't remember what part of the Bible it's
yeah,
from.
Yeah, I can't help you either. I'm not good at memorizing those.
But I always remember driving past that and remember feeling the Spirit as I passed by. And just remembering that even though it's hard on the reservation for my family at times, that we can always reach out for help from God. And I love that so much. The other thing that I love about going home to Canada is just reconnecting with the people. I remember I'd never been to a powwow in Canada before 2019. It was in Winnipeg at one of the buildings there, and it's called the Manitowabi Powwow. It's one of the bigger powwows up north, and I remember I danced at that powwow, went in for grand entry, and I couldn't believe how many dancers were there. There were a lot. But I remember looking at the regalia of these other dancers, and in not just the women's regalia, but also the men's is very floral, which is a tribute to the Ojibwe designs. And I love that so much. It was beautiful. But the one thing I remember most is there was this family that was there, and they had lost a family member who had passed away, and they were really struggling. And so they asked all the women to come out to the arena, who were jingle dress dancers, so that they could dance for a healing dance. And there were so many women in that arena. It was such a beautiful sight. And I was just waiting for the song to start so we could start dancing. And I literally wanted to cry because it was so beautiful. I felt like the presence of the Holy Ghost so strongly in that setting. And it was very special and very moving for me. I felt the love of Heavenly Father and, you know, our Savior Jesus Christ when we were dancing. And I knew that Heavenly Father has blessed us with our heritage to do good for other people, to be a source of comfort for not only ourselves, but for other people. It was just a beautiful, beautiful experience that I will never forget.
Yeah. Gosh, that makes me think of all the times when I have family or friends who say, can you please pray for me or pray for this person in my family because they're ill or they need help or whatever. And that's a physical manifestation of people praying together, right? What you just described. Man, that's beautiful. I'm just imagining that. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. So what do you do day to day right now? Do you have a job?
Yes, I work full time. I am a receptionist at a doctor's office over in American Fork. And yeah, it's been a good job. I work with really nice people. So yeah.
Did you go to college?
I did. I graduated from Utah Valley University in 2020.
Yeah. Oh, during the pandemic?
Yeah, during the pandemic. And it was funny because they mailed me my diploma instead of being able to walk. So yeah, I graduated with a Bachelor of Arts from UVU. So,
in what?
In American Sign Language Interpreting.
What? That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you use that?
I haven't used it recently, but yeah, it's been a great skill to have.
And that's cool, though.
It was fun to learn. I didn't know any of that language before I started the program. So.
What? You are kidding me.
Yeah, so it's been fun to be able to have that skill.
That's crazy. So what other talents and skills do you have? Are you a sewer? Do you craft? Do you bead? What else do you do? Do you play the piano?
I don't play the piano, but I do love to bead. I've been recently working on making earrings That's been really fun. And I have this beadwork set that I've been working on. So I've been working on the leggings right now. I just need to finish the leggings and the moccasins. So that's been a process in itself, but I love beading. It's very soothing and relaxing, and it kind of helps me quiet my mind a little bit from, you know, the television or other media. So
yeah, for sure. So have you always had a testimony of our Savior Jesus Christ?
Yes, I have. I remember when I was in Young Women's, you know, they always ask you, what's your favorite scripture? And I would always tell them it's in Enos, verse 8. And, you know, Enos was, you know, he was praying to Heavenly Father for forgiveness of, you know, his sins, his shortcomings, his flaws, or even things that he was struggling with. And, you know, he remembered what his father taught him about praying and having faith. So, you know, he prayed, you know, all day for forgiveness of his shortcomings. And then he was told that, you know, his sins are forgiven and the guilt is going to be swept. But in verse 8, it talks about how Heavenly Father tells him, you know, you've been so faithful, you know, you believe in Jesus Christ, and he hasn't even arrived yet. He's not here yet. You haven't seen him. You just know of him and his name. And he's like, because you believe in him, even though you haven't seen him or talked to him, you know, and because of your faith, you're forgiven. And that scripture, I'm not sure why I was always drawn to that scripture in Enos verse 8. But as I've gotten older and had more experiences, I've began to understand that that's the source of having Jesus Christ's atonement work in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got older, I remember there was a time in my life where I wasn't keeping the commandments. I wasn't going to church. And I remember I was living out of state at the time, and it was a Sunday, and like I hadn't gone to church in a while, and I felt drawn to go to the church.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this little church, maybe a couple minutes away, and so I drove over there, and I just sat in sacrament meeting, and I remember feeling the love of our Savior in Jesus Christ, even though I wasn't making the best choices at that time. And that reconfirmed to me that Heavenly Father, you know, he sees our shortcomings, but he also sees where we can go, and he loves us
mm-hmm.
exactly where we are at currently. And our Savior Jesus Christ, he does the same for us as our elder brother.
Yeah, for sure. I know I've been thinking a lot about the atonement lately and how church is not for perfect people. It's for those of us who need the atonement all the time, which is all of us, right? And even when we feel like we're on the straight and narrow path, we can always readjust just a little bit. We can always make our vision towards our Savior more than we have before. And that's the atonement.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
So before we started, you were telling me some about when you visited some of your family, how you saw on their wall a list of values that your family holds dear to them, and it really affected you. Would you like to share that and talk about that?
Yeah, sure. So when I was up over in Canada on the reservation on Saying First Nation, I have a cousin that is 17 years older than me. And we were just at her home visiting. She was showing us some artwork that she had. And we were just visiting with her kids. And I remember looking at the wall. Me and my mom were looking at the wall. Like, oh, those are the seven grandfather teachings. And I remember looking at them. And the seven teachings that I saw on the wall are love, respect, bravery, truth, honesty, humility, and wisdom. And I love these teachings because I feel that they lead us back to Heavenly Father and our Savior. I love the word love because, you know, they love us, but they also teach us to love other people. I feel like these teachings intertwine with each other as well. To have respect for yourself or for others, you have to love yourself and love other people. To be brave, you have to have honesty. But with honesty, you also have to have humility. With truth, you know, truth is connected with love. In our, you know, in our gospel setting, you know, truth is from Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. And that's manifested through the Holy Ghost. And then wisdom, one of the last teachings of the grandfather teachings, that involves, you know, just having an understanding of different teachings we can learn from being in the gospel or from our family members and friends that can buoy us up in different situations that we're trying to navigate in our lives. So seeing those teachings on the wall at my cousin's house was very powerful for me because, you know, they have their own faith with the church that they're a part of. And, you know, it's different from our faith in some ways. But I love how that could be a source of peace and a reference for them, you know, to try to implement in their lives in one way or another. So that was really neat to see those teachings on the wall when we went to her house.
Yeah, I love that. And a lot of tribes talk about the Creator, and that makes me think of, like, in the Book of Mormon when Alma, or is it Ammon, when he's like, well, do you know God? No, but I know the Great Spirit. Yeah, that's him. Right? It's like,
yeah.
These teachings, you might call it something different, but they come from God. And that makes us bound to each other, I think.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
It's pretty beautiful. Yeah, it does bind us together across tribes and across even religions too.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Totally.
Yeah.
So have you seen any miracles in your life, or even just small miracles that have blessed you?
The one miracle that comes to mind is my mother. My mother is a convert to the church. She joined the church when she was a teenager. And if she hadn't done that, if she hadn't made that decision, then my life would probably be a lot different. And, you know, I may not even be here, because she traveled from Canada to Utah to go to BYU for college. And, yeah, my mother definitely is a big miracle. She continues to be. She is a woman of faith and of strength. She has endured a lot in her life, and I look up to her so much. I have so much respect, admiration, and love for her. And yeah,
she's a pretty great lady. I've watched her for a long time, not closely, but I mean around.
Yeah.
So your birth parents, your mom and your dad, were separated and divorced, but I know you have a family now that you didn't grow up with. Do you want to talk about your family and how they have affected your life?
Yeah. My mother got remarried when I was around 20 years old.
And was that a surprise to you?
That was a surprise to me. It was definitely a shift in my life. And his name is Curtis Walker Sr., and he has 5 other children, so that's going to make me the youngest.
Oh, you were the youngest then?
I'm the youngest.
And you were the only child before, right?
Yes, that's right. Yep. So I'm the youngest, and then I have 2 older sisters and 3 older brothers. And it's funny because when I was growing up, I always wanted an older brother.
Yeah.
And now I got 3.
Yeah.
And all 5 of them are amazing individuals. I have a lot of respect and love for each of them. And it's taken time to get to know them and build relationships with them. But I can see how Heavenly Father kind of navigated that for us to be able to be together as a family. And it's been a tremendous blessing. They each have a characteristic of their father, Curtis Sr. And I was living away at the time that my mom and Curtis Sr. were together, and I didn't really have a connection with him as much as they did. But when I decided to move back home, I started to see and understand how each of them have one of those characteristics of him in themselves. And it's been such a beautiful blessing to be a part of their lives and support them and love them. And we have a lot of fun together. We, we can stay up late and just talk about everything or nothing. And we love going to powwows. You know, my brother Marcus has a drum group called Greyhawk. It's amazing to just be at drum practices with them and just see them sing. It's just incredible. So they're incredible people.
Yeah. I think I like what you just said about Heavenly Father orchestrated that, because I know Curtis Walker Sr. has passed. And so, but because you and your mom were pulled into that family, you're still part of that family. It's not like, well, see you later. It's you've grown your family and it's stayed that way. I think that's so cool. What a blessing.
Yeah, it's a tremendous blessing. It's a big miracle in itself, because sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
Yeah. You know?
And it's really neat because we're all very close. Like, when I meet people, they get confused because, like, oh, I have 3 older brothers and 2 older sisters. They're like, wait, what? I'm confused. I thought you grew up as an only child. They're like, oh, okay. Well, culturally, this is how it works, you know, with them being siblings. So, yeah, it's.
I think that's so great. I love that for you. I love that. Do you have any goals in life that you're working towards?
I've been trying to finish the Book of Mormon. Yeah. I haven't read it completely before. Yeah. So that's something that I've been trying to work on. And I love the Book of Mormon so much. There's so many beautiful teachings about the Savior and understanding who he is and how he can bless us with his spirit and bless us to understand his teachings and to understand how we can help each other as brothers and sisters in the gospel. Such a beautiful blessing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think reading the Book of Mormon at any stage in life is awesome. I don't think my mom ever personally read the Book of Mormon until right before my little sister went on her mission. So my mom was probably in her 40s when she finally read it for the first time by herself. And she spoke at my sister's mission farewell and talked about the Book of Mormon. And I was like, this is the best talk on the Book of Mormon ever. So, I mean, whatever age you are, to read the Book of Mormon for the first time all the way through, it's going to change your life, I think. And bless it. Just so, such a good blessing. So that's an awesome goal. I love that. I'm glad I asked that question. Have you received your patriarchal blessing?
Yeah, I received mine in high school.
Uh-huh.
And there's a part of it that talks about doing family history. And that's something I would love to start.
Yeah.
I hear that it's challenging to do family history for
Native people.
For Native, amongst the Native people.
I'm like, oh, as you said that, I'm like, oh, that's such a challenge. And you're like, why does he do that to us? Have you started on that then?
No, I haven't. I have a lot of respect and love for my mother. So I've been waiting for her to say, okay, it's time for us to start working on our family history.
Together, maybe. To get
names and to, start doing ordinances. And, but we have been, to our reservation up in Canada, and we've gone to like the grave sites and collected information. So I'm just waiting for her confirmation about the right time. But I love that even though I can't focus on that part right now out of respect for her, I love that we can just go to the temple and do the ordinances for, brothers and sisters that we don't even know. And how amazing is that? I remember I went and did some ordinances two different times, but they were both times there were names that were like Chinese, Japanese.
Really?
Names. I was like, I was here like maybe like a week or two ago. It's like, oh, wow. And I remember there was one name that it just had the name, but it was in the language of the individual, but it didn't have like a date of birth or even like the origin. It was just the name.
Weird. I didn't think you could do that.
So I was like, what is going on? So it was really interesting, but it just made me think of how Heavenly Father just knows us.
Yeah.
Even if it's just by our name, or even, name or date of birth, that just boggles my mind.
That's true. I love how you brought that. That's cool.
Yeah. I love the temple so much. I remember I was a temple worker for about a year and a half, and that was such a neat experience to be able to help the patrons, just welcome them to the temple and help them with, where they need to go or what they need to wear. It was a big blessing.
That's cool. At the Timpanogos Temple or a different one?
Yes, at the Timpanogos Temple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to do that again?
I might.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be so cool.
So fun. I love it.
What, so you talked about beating and that kind of stuff. What other stuff do you do that brings you joy, that just makes you feel good?
I really love just being part of our Native community here in Utah. That's been a big blessing in my life. And I've always gone to different powwows, like with my mom. I remember being in high school and, you know, probably like 13 or 14 years old. We used to travel with this family that we know. They were actually our neighbors. They were living down the street from us, and their family is Navajo. But I remember that we used to go and travel all over Utah and even up to Washington one time. And we go all to all these different powwows. And it was so fun. But the one thing that my mom always said to me and said, Tamara, it's, you know, Saturday night. You're driving home from going to this powwow and dancing all weekend. But she would always say, Tamara, if you can powwow all night, you can go to church.
Yeah.
And so still to this day, that's something that comes to mind. And I recognize that what she was teaching me, that, you know, it's important to be a part of your culture. That's really great. But you also need to make sure that you're making time for the Lord and for Heavenly Father. And that's something that's really become a huge part of my life within the past like 6 years, and has helped me understand just navigating between those two spaces of being Native, mm-hmm. and also being a member of the church.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I love that. What is something that is really hard that you've experienced, and how did you get through it?
One of the things that was really challenging for me was coming back to church after being away for a while. And I remember feeling kind of out of place a little bit. And it was hard, you know. It kind of takes your confidence to a lower level, which is not fun. And but I remember how important it is to just keep enduring, even though I was having a hard time, you know, trying to figure out how to, you know, come back to church, be able to take part of the sacrament again. That was really hard. But I felt a lot of peace, even though it was hard to be at church because of that situation. I knew that's where I was supposed to be, because I felt in my heart that I needed to just be there, because that would be the source of light and happiness, you know, in my life. But after going through that process of changing my life, and coming out to the other side, I realized that Heavenly Father, you know, He blesses us with these commandments to protect us and to help us to find joy in this life and to find that happiness and to understand that Jesus Christ, He died for us. He died for, you know, our shortcomings. He died for my mistakes. He understands how I felt, you know. He understands that I felt alone, but He also understands, oh, she can do so much more, but she doesn't know it yet.
Yeah,
you know.
Sure.
So,
yeah. What is something that you are really proud of accomplishing?
One of the things that I'm really proud of accomplishing is having an education. Not everybody has that. you know, it was a lot of work learning American Sign Language in school.
Especially since you didn't know it before.
Yeah, I didn't know any of it before. And I'm really proud of that accomplishment. It was a lot of work to try to understand, you know, the culture of the deaf community, you know. So I'm really proud of that. It was fun to be able to take the classes and, you know, keep building on those skills to be able to improve. And it's, you know, been helpful with my job. You know, there's people that have come in that need help getting checked in or, you know, things like that. So that has been really neat too.
So two things about that. What, first of all, what made you decide that that was your major? And secondly, you just talked about how it is a different culture within our culture. Do you see any similarities in navigating the two different cultures the way, like, but also with being Native and then in the culture of the church?
So your first question about getting into that major. So I have a cousin that was attending Utah Valley University, and she was taking American Sign Language classes, and she was telling me about it. So I said to her, oh, that sounds really cool. And so I just kind of checked out the program, and I just started taking the classes.
Yeah.
So that's how I got into that.
You just started and you're like, oh, look, I need to just might as well major in this. Is that basically what happened?
Yeah. It's been really neat. And then as far as navigating between having a Native American heritage and having being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I think it's, for me, it's been important to recognize feeling the Holy Ghost in each of those situations. And also understanding that the light of Christ is in both situations. So, you know, at a powwow, you could feel the Holy Ghost calmness and light and love, you know, through listening to the drum group singing all the different songs that they prepared. You can see it like physically with your eyes, with seeing the dancers out there, their different regalia. And then with the church, you know, you can feel that spirit and that light when you're listening to a talk of somebody, you know, they could be talking about anything, you know, about our Savior Jesus Christ, about, you know, enduring, about having faith, those types of things. And you also have the sacrament that you can take every week to renew your covenants, you know. So it's a big blessing to be able to have those sources of goodness from both situations.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's been so fun to get to know you. And I love how you have learned to see and feel the light of our Savior and the Holy Ghost through different experiences in your life. Like, I feel like you have learned to be close to both of them through that. Thank you for sharing that. I have one final question. What does it mean to you to know that you belong to the tribe of Israel?
This question, I've been thinking about it a lot. And one of the things that makes me very grateful for is understanding that, you know, as being a part of the tribe of Israel, that we are given promises from Heavenly Father and our Savior for, you know, being faithful and having a knowledge of them. You know, those blessings will come forth in their own time. And I'm grateful that I have an understanding of who they are. I realize that not everybody has that. And, You know, one way that we could help people understand that is just by being kind and loving, you know, and sharing that light of Christ by being an example and showing that goodness to other people, even if it can be hard at times. And I'm very grateful for the priesthood. The priesthood is a tremendous blessing in my life. I'm grateful for the sacrament. The sacrament has become my anchor through everything. And I love that we can continue to buoy each other up, you know, whether we're at work, whether we're at school, whether we're at a powwow, whether you see somebody, you know, at the cash register, at a grocery store, or whether you're home on the reservation, you know, it's just continue to have faith in yourself, in the people you're interacting with. Pray for them if they're struggling. You know, cling to our Savior Jesus Christ. Cling to the iron rod, and His blessings will come to you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Tamara. It's been so nice. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Andrea.
So I just went to the Worldwide Relief Society thing. I think that's what it's called. It was so great. It was so great because they emphasized how much Heavenly Father loves us as individuals. And if you've listened to many of these podcasts, that is something that I want you to know as well. I really have a testimony that Heavenly Father loves you as an individual. I know that He loves me, and if He loves me, He loves you. Because I'm so imperfect. Our prophet is getting old. I know that's kind of a dumb statement, but it was so apparent as He spoke to us, but He spoke to us with love of our Savior and our Father in heaven. And I think He wants us to know that so that we want to know them, our Savior and Father in heaven. It was pretty powerful. There was an individualized message for each one of us. And it might be the same message, but it is individualized because it applies to each of us. And I'm really grateful for that. And I hope that you keep that in mind because that's what they want you to know. And I hope you have a super wonderful, awesome day. Tribe of Testimonies is not sponsored by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The music is a traditional hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, arranged and performed by Kyle Forsyth. I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear how this podcast is affecting you. And I'm always looking for guests. If you or someone you know would be a great guest, you can reach me at tribeoftestimonies@gmail.com.